sex magic.
You ready?
You gotta just like butt walk it a little bit.
Yeah.
We're recording, by the way.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Just gotta butt walk it.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm your host, MG.
And I'm your other host, Red Bear.
I think this is the first time we've actually done the show one after the other, like one week, and then the next week we do another, and we haven't had a hiatus. It hasn't snowed.
We're here.
We haven't been sick. We haven't died.
It's 70 and clear.
So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to do it the right way. What's the website, Bear?
That's exppoints.com. Double tap that P.
You know, we got a Facebook, too. If you want to go to that, facebook.com/experiencepoints. We post all of our news, reviews, anything we have going on the website. You can actually listen to us online from the website, exppoints.com, or you can listen to us through iTunes, just Google search.
iTunes search for
the Experience Points radio show. Fantastic. You can sync it to your podcasts or your phones or whatever. We actually right now have a Tomb Raider game giveaway that's going to go for about another week and a half. It's PC, it's Mac. It plays on pretty much anything except Linux, but, you know, that's only because they don't support it yet. So go ahead and check that out. This show, we are going to be touching on MechWarrior 3 for our retro game review. I really love that game.
Oh, man, that's one of my favorites.
That's going to be a good segment.
That's
good. We're going to talk about some recent gaming news surrounding some company or some companies. Oh, snap. And then we're going to talk about Titanfall and how it could potentially be shifting the future of games.
Entire future.
Let's go ahead and kick it off right now.
Right here.
MechWarrior 3.
My God, man.
This game, made by MicroProse, released in 1999. Bear, I know we both own this game. And yeah. We actually dug them out and we played them and we installed them. Installing this game on Windows 8 is not a fun thing. But I gotta say, once it is installed, it wasn't that bad, honestly.
Well, you're using Windows 8, so that was probably not fun then.
Well, I expected it to run, like, whenever you run a DOSBox game, it runs 20 times faster than it should. Like, Descent was a problem.
That was hilarious.
And whenever we did Retro Game Review, our first Retro Game Review was Descent. I know we both had problems. You actually found DX Rebirth.
Yeah,
and
which was great.
That fixed it.
Fixed everything. And new textures. Which is what everyone's doing these days anyway, right?
It made it HDR. It made it so that you can stretch it to 1920 by 1080. And the problem that I had with MechWarrior 3 is it's stuck in like 640 by 480, which was like the top of the time in 1999. But some facts about MechWarrior 3. It is the, you guessed it, third. I guess it's technically the fourth because there was an expansion to MechWarrior 2. But
that was an expansion way before DLC ever was a thing.
Yeah, it was an actual expansion.
You had to go to the store and buy it.
Right, a physical expansion. MechWarrior 3 had 20 missions. It had 18 mechs. It is part of the BattleTech series, though I don't know if they've actually got a good place for it in the BattleTech universe. It is InterSphere storyline. The customization, that's really where it was at. Before we talk about customization, the 3D graphics, I guess we should really talk about 3D graphics. Textures were awesome.
Yeah, well, again, for 99, everything was really well done.
Well, you know what? When we were playing it, I was looking at it, and I go, well, for the game, for the feeling, for the simulation, for, like, the overall everything in the game, I didn't feel that it was too dated.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't feel... It wasn't like I was... I don't know. I it's hard to describe it. I didn't feel like I was playing a game that was over a decade old.
That's always
and
good.
Then some.
And talk about graphics. How about the pre-rendered intro?
The pre-rendered intro.
You just know this game is great when it starts up.
Well, you know what? I feel like the elephant in the room for people that have played the MechWarrior games is MechWarrior 4 did live action movies, and Microsoft actually took that over. Microsoft and FAFSA or whatever. I can't remember who did it, but they did these live action intros. I hated that.
That was terrible.
From MechWarrior 4.
MechWarrior 3.
MechWarrior
intro.
3 though.
Dude.
Fantastic.
Like, the game just starts up and you're like, man, this is going to be the best game ever.
You know what?
It
made it to our retro game review, so it's got to be good for something.
If it's on our list, it's up there.
The customizations for this, you could do armor types, weapon types, ammo, electronics, pretty much anything about your mech. You could customize what it was holding, what you were shooting, how you were shooting it, the radar.
Talking about the customization, though, you can customize it.
It didn't
restrict you.
No.
So you could load it up with a ton of plasma weapons and no heat sinks.
Yeah.
Don't.
Means you hit anything. You hit anything more than once.
You would just explode. It was great.
Now, that is something. It lets you play the game your way. You had and it told you this in the training. It said, all right, pilot, you've got these weapons. Some are going to generate a lot of heat, and you've got coolant. Now, you can flush your coolant, or you could, it's going to automatically shut down if you get too hot.
That's one of my favorite elements of the game. Is I felt like I was actually working this giant machine, and it had safeties and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you start overheating, your safety kicks on, and the voice comes on telling you, mech powering down. But you can hit a key on the keyboard to override that, and it would respond back, mech power down, overridden.
Yep, and you were at the mercy of pretty much the player and your own game style, because if you overloaded your mech and you overloaded your heat so much, you would explode. You would literally explode. It's like Ed 209 at the end of RoboCop.
But get that one or two more shots off, and then power down or jump in the water.
That was the thing. I would always try to find a lake. Yeah. You try to find a river or a lake, because if you stood in the lake, you could. I think it was called like Alpha Strike.
Where you hit everything.
You hit the inner key and everything fires all at once. And I loved energy weapons because I hated carrying around ammo. Because believe it or not, I was really bad at this game in some aspects.
Oh, I believe it, man.
Keeping track of my mobile field bases, which were awesome.
That's my second favorite play element. Is the fact that you have these mobile field bases, they repair your mech.
Right.
But you're in a war. So, and you're kind of like the commander because you're driving this big giant thing anyway.
Yeah, you had squad mates and you could tell them what to do.
You kind of have to manage them a little bit. And part of that is putting them somewhere so the other giant mechs don't blow them up.
Right, because you only had three.
You only had three.
And if you lose them, they don't like repair themselves. They just repair you.
Well, they explode, so.
Well, yeah, it's hard to repair an explosion. Yeah. But, like, I would always lose my mobile field bases.
Yeah, you'd have to find it.
And I'd have to go find them. You see, the thing is, like, you can finish the mission without them a lot of the time. Sometimes you need to have them, but a lot of the times you can finish the mission without them. But they didn't only repair. They refueled and they gave you more ammo and refit your mech. I hated using, like, I remember the ACs, like the actual, like, not the Gauss cannons, anything that's non-energy that needed ammo, the LRMs, the SRMs, all that. I hated using them because I'd run out of ammo, and I'm like, well, crap, now I'm out of ammo, and now I've got this SEM laser, this small EM laser that doesn't do anything. It barely cooks a hot dog. So now I'm shooting it at, I'm plinking away at the mechs over there. I would just load up with, like, long-range, super EM weapons and Gauss cannons and everything, and I would just find a lake.
Oh, man, the Gauss cannon.
Especially because before you would be deployed, that's the thing. Before you'd go out in a mission, you'd get, like, your mission briefing from the guy, like the colonel or whatever.
Yeah,
And you would see the topology, and you know if there's water. And it would be like, this is where Point Able is, and you'd have to go towards Able. And once you get to Able, I don't know why they didn't use Alpha and Bravo. They use Able and Baker for some reason.
Yep.
You'd go towards this stuff, and if there was a lake, you always loaded up with EM weapons. And you could just stand in
the
lake.
That's probably the best thing to do.
And you could just spam EM weapons. And because you're in water.
Oh, man, I used to have a Puma that was just awesome.
I imagine you would just kill all the fish in the lake. Like, you would just superheat the lake, boil the lake.
I imagine that a lot of fish probably died in these missions.
Yeah, this is not a very environmentally friendly type of game.
Once you have giant robots running around blowing stuff up, I think the environmental consciousness kind of goes away.
It's hard to find this game, to be realistic. They don't have this game on Good Old Games. You'd think that they would by now.
I wish they would.
I don't know why. It would be really great to have it on Steam or something like that, but they don't. Though, they did recently release Descent on Steam.
Yes, and I bought it instantly.
Yes,
although
did
I own like five copies.
It's okay. You know what? I feel like you gotta buy the re-releases of these games so that people know that you care. And if everyone cares,
that's how people know.
That's how people know, and how people know we're gonna make a Descent 4. We're gonna make a Descent 1 HD or
maybe
whatever.
We'll make a Descent 3.
A real one.
For real.
A real one. It's hard to find this game. I actually found copies on Amazon that were used for like $5. You can get them. Brand new, you're looking at paying like $50 to $80.
Yeah.
If you're going to get a brand new. And it was the nice box copy.
That's one thing I miss about getting CDs is the big boxes.
You had like a bookshelf.
And then it would come with a book, and it would have like
a manual
concept and art and everything in it.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Same thing
like with old records, LPs.
Yeah.
It is
a display. You display what you have, and it's like, look at my stuff. My stuff's better than your stuff. I got all my stuff.
Amazing.
Anyway, the cool thing about this was that not only do you have mobile field bases, you could issue commands to your squad mates. It was basic, But you could still say, hey, dude, and you had like three, I think max three. You'd say, hey, come here.
Well, and that's something to mention. You could get other mechs by salvaging them.
Oh, I
forgot
about that.
You didn't always want to completely blow up the enemy mechs.
I'd always go for the legs.
This is war.
I'd always hit the legs.
It's easier to repair a leg than blowing up an entire mech.
I would always go for the legs. You could
zoom
in. You
gotta catch them all.
You could, it's Pokemech.
Pokemech.
And on top of all that, you could do, it was early, but you could do multiplayer through, I think, IPX. You could do TCP/IP. So if you were one of those people who knew enough about how IPs worked, and at that point, you know, if you were playing games in the 90s, you did. You had to. You could play multiplayer with your buddies, and that was fantastic. Again, MechWarrior 3, I played so many hours of MechWarrior 3.
I give it 10 bear claws out of 8.
10 bear claws. That's a lot of calories. Them bear claws. We're going to cut to a song real quick. This is Boss Wave by Excellent. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points.
Yes. Boss Wave.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Boss Wave by Excellent. Before the break, we were talking about one of our favorite retro games, MechWarrior 3, and how awesome it was. But we're moving on. Bear, have you ever played Bioshock?
I played me some Bioshock.
Bioshock 2.
Yeah. And Bioshock Infinite.
Okay, so Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite were created by the same people.
It wasn't Bioshock 2.
That was, yeah, because, I mean, you know what? Bioshock 2 just was, I don't know, it wasn't as good.
Well, I want to say, it's not a bad game. It's
no.
It's not a good. It wasn't better or anything.
Yeah.
It was an improvement.
I feel like it just did more of the same of Bioshock, and it didn't get real, more real.
It didn't get more real.
Battlestar Galactica it for us. And
in case everyone doesn't know, every episode of Battlestar Galactica, it gets real.
More real every
more
time.
More real every single time.
They increased the real meter.
Man, remember Real Player? Boom,
oh,
that
man.
Was a thing.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore, thankfully.
It got too real.
Bioshock's original creator, the studio Irrational Studios, is shutting down.
They're being irrational.
They're irrationally shutting it down. Ken Levine, the lead guy, is quoted as saying, and this is written on their website, quote, "While I'm deeply proud of what we've accomplished together,
we're all fired.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm sorry, continue.
Following quote, "My passion has turned to making a different kind of game than we've done before. To meet the challenge ahead, I need to refocus my energy on a smaller team with
You're
a flatter
fired.
Structure and a more direct relationship with gamers. In many ways, it will be a return to how we started, a small team making games for the core gaming audience," end quote.
Yeah, you remember how you had jumped, you're fired.
Now, he did say that only 15 employees from Irrational Studios are going to remain with I guess they're going to call it a different name or whatever. Legality dictates they're going to have to change from Irrational Studios to something else. They're not leaving 2K Studios, though, or 2K Games. So they are staying with the publisher, but he's only keeping 15 people from Irrational Studios. Now, he did say, we're going to help our people get
jobs.
Yeah,
I'm not keep making fun of him. I'm sure that they're going to be fine.
Oh, no, they're going to be fine, yeah. Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite, fantastic
games.
You
didn't Donald Trump this, I don't think.
Wow.
But
so that got me thinking. Big. That's pretty big for a company like that to do that. However,
well, you know, it's actually pretty interesting for a company that grew to realize they got too big.
Well, yeah, and
because that seems to always be a problem.
That you know you've got management is hard. First off,
management is hard.
Yeah.
But like a lot of things, startups start out with these awesome ideas, and you know how you're going to run things, and then it takes off.
Right.
And now you got a 100 employee company.
You become successful.
You're not. Yeah. You're. Overly, I think it's over success because
right.
then you weren't prepared to manage this,
right?
And it becomes something you didn't want in the first place.
Yeah, and well, you look at companies like Wikipedia. Wikipedia
yeah.
only had, and you always get that little bar at the top every year that asks for money and begs you for money. They only have, I think, 70 people working at Wikipedia, and it's like the third biggest website out there. We actually pulled some numbers. I'm gonna do a few of these, and then you can have a few of these. Double Fine Studios. That's Tim Schafer. They made Psychonauts and Stackers or Stackling or whatever. 65 people at that company. Not many people at all. Denon Games, that made Hotline Miami. Only two people. Really, it's just like one person, and then they form.
Is that like the artist and the programmer?
Yeah, pretty much.
It seems like the perfect team to me.
And then the music. Capybara Games, which did Super Brothers, the EP, the Sword and Sorcery for mobile and for computer platforms. It's an awesome pixel art game. They only have 24 people. Likewise, Drinkbox, Guacamelee. They made Guacamelee. 10 people. I mean...
not many people in these.
Yeah, there's
just, and these are the entire companies.
Yeah, this is the entire thing. Now, they may have producers, like, you know, some of these people may produce and you know, sell their games via something else.
Right,
but
right.
The people that are actually making the game, the people that are getting the product and giving it to the people that make CDs, that, you know, put it on digital distribution or whatever.
Steam.
Yeah, that's not including those people.
Right, right. Clearly.
Face Punch. Big for Garry's Mod. Now, very recently, big for the game Rust. If you haven't played Rust, I encourage you. It's in open alpha, I believe. Go and play it. It will change the way you think about other people and how to trust people.
Wow.
Only 11 people. I mean, imagine you and 10 of your friends getting together and making a game. 11 people. And it's a game that sold millions and millions of copies.
You only have to split it 11 ways.
Only 11, well, and then distribution costs, but still. Introversion. Words. This really was crazy. I did not realize that this was true. Introversion, which is famous now for Prison Architect, but before they did Darwinia and DEFCON.
Oh, man, I love the Darwinia games.
It's such a good game series.
So much fun.
I feel like that's what computers are. That's how computers really work. Like,
yeah,
you watch clearly. Series like Reboot and
oh my God,
and Darwinia. They're supposed to be rebooting Reboot, actually. Reboot.
Incoming game. I also like to imagine that's what happens. When you win the game, you destroy your computer.
Is that what happens? That's what bad sectors and cylinders are.
Yeah, if you won too many games.
Introversion is only 7 people. 7 people. That's crazy. Keen Software House, which does Minor Wars 2081, which is a fantastic, it seems like it's Descent, but with HD graphics and not as good, but it's still light. It's that 6 Degree of Freedom type game. Minor Wars 2081, that's only 9 people. Mojang, which is Minecraft.
Thanks, Notch.
And it wasn't even 37 people when Minecraft was built. But now, as of January 2014, 37 people. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Klee Entertainment, they did Shank and Don't Starve. Don't Starve was recently released on PlayStation Plus
for
PS4.
Very difficult game.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think not starving would be that hard.
It's a very hard game. I before I played it, I watched someone play.
As a fat guy, I don't feel like I'm gonna starve.
I had no idea what was going on in the game. It's a hard, like, you think.
Play Dwarf Fortress, Matt.
Well, no, I okay. So, Klee Entertainment only has 35 people, and then Play Dead. They were famous for Limbo, which is on Steam, and you can get it on several other consoles. Only 21 people. So, I mean, it's very possible for a small company, like a very small, you know, sub 100 people development studio, to put out some fantastic games. And most of these are indie developers. Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, what do you feel?
I've been through college, and I've done group work. And, I mean, don't you just feel that whenever there's a small group that works well together, you can produce something much better than throwing people and resources at something?
Yeah, you know, you want
to... There's a point to where you can't just keep throwing resources at
it. Yeah, you can't just throw money at a problem and expect it to just solve itself. And I feel, you know, like, especially,
you
know...
You need few quality people.
In a collegiate setting, well, the term...
Especially in a collegiate setting.
The term or the saying that I've always heard is, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. And
that's a major problem in the business world.
You know, I feel like if higher management, if you've got, think of office space.
The problem in office space.
If you have so many bosses that you don't know who you report to, or you have so many, you're not even sure what your job description is. Is it even written down? Do you even have a job description?
I'm a people person.
It gets hard to manage. And to be completely honest, I think I would like to work for a startup if I could. You know, you hear all these great stories about startups like Facebook, you know.
Apple. That was a startup one
Apple,
time.
Facebook. Fantastic stories of how things just worked. And there were a lot of long hours. And I don't think making the long hours, that's not bad. It's. I guess people want the assurance that we'll make it one day.
Right. Well, it's a big gamble. It's going to – most startups don't take off.
Right, right. I feel like you need to find your market. You need to do it. And, you know, the fact that Irrational Studios, which is – they were printing money with BioShock Infinite. They've recently released their Burial at Sea DLC and their second season of Burial at Sea DLC. They could continue to do things like this, and they could continue to make more money. But it's awesome that, you know, Ken Levine's saying, well, we're going to finish out what we're doing. We're going to finish out the series. And then we're going to do something else because, quite frankly, we've gone past what we started out.
And again, this is a realization I don't think most companies have. Or when they do, it's too late. And they can't really backpedal enough.
Well, I think Notch at Mojang did this where he said, I don't want to do Minecraft anymore. Right. I want to work on something else. So I'm giving it to, I think, Jeb, you know, his next developer.
I remember when he did that.
That was, you know, people said, oh, well, he's made his money. He wants to do, you know, whatever. He wants to sit on and eat Cheetos. I, you know what? First off,
good on him if he does.
If you made that much money, eat your Cheetos.
Maybe he's secretly working with Gabe on Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 3 in the Minecraft engine.
I swear, whenever Half-Life 3 comes out, you can like punch a tree and build houses. That'd be awesome. Boom.
But I look at, you know, it is very big of these developers that say, well, I got into this for a reason. I got in to do something revolutionary and to make people enjoy playing games and not just play the same game over and over and over again. Like, how many Call of Duties... think about it. Call of Duty. And this is actually going to play into our next segment about Titanfall, but how many Call of Duties have come out that really have changed something?
I remember COD 4.
Yeah, well, you probably remember Call of Duty when it was Warcraft at War. You know, World War II Call of Duty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's when we started playing it. But, like, Call of Duty 4 really stood out to me as being the last good Call of Duty.
Yeah, and then they went completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's still... I don't play them anymore.
I feel like... I don't know. I feel like it's not very often you're going to get a developer that says, we've deviated from our path. We have done something fantastic and mighty, and we will be remembered forever for it. We've made one of the best games. We've won E3 awards, and we've won Saturn awards. We've done all these things. But let's get back to what we actually intended to do from the start. Let's go back to doing the right thing. Yeah. And
you know that has to be hard on them because, well, I wonder what it feels like from the employees who are getting laid off on this.
You know,
I mean, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
We were talking about it during the break. They're going to be fine.
I was saying, they're going to be fine financially. They'll get a job. I mean, obviously, they worked on Bioshock.
It should be said
they should have a good resume
by now. Later on, Ken Levine did say in his blog post that, you know, Irrational Studios is there for the people, that even though they are being laid off, they have full access to the studio and they will be on staff until they'll hold like auctions and job fairs and other studios can come in and bid on the artists and different things.
Yeah.
They're going to help them out.
Obviously, yeah, they're not just they didn't.
They're not thrown to the wind.
But my point though is, like, how do you feel about that? Because you've helped make something great, but then now you're going to get let go. I don't know. Like, it's kind of an honor because you've done this great thing and it's been acknowledged. But like, I don't know how I feel about it.
At the same time,
I might be respectful of, and because you have to respect their decision to not want to deviate from what they want to do.
Well, yeah, the boss, you know what, I always tell my boss this, where no matter how I feel about something, he's still the boss. If he wants me to do it and I want to continue to have a job, I'm going to do it. And if the boss, in this case, Bioshock, you know, or Ken Levine, you know, if the studio is going to close and that's going to happen, no amount of whining and complaining is going to change it. And if you didn't get hired, no amount of whining and complaining is going to change that either. So I feel like, you know, yeah, you've made a difference and you've made an impact and you're going to be fine financially, and now it's time to just go to another part of your life and make that difference and make that impact somewhere else. And Irrational Studios, you know, they're saying...
They're saying
they're taking 15 people. I mean, that may be an initial 15 people, but I imagine initially they started with very few people and they grew and they made Bioshock and they grew more and they made Bioshock Infinite and now they're huge. And I mean... what's to say that the new Irrational Games isn't going to do the same thing, that they're just going to grow again and these same people are going to get hired back on? I mean, you know, Steve Jobs got kicked out of his own company and then was hired back and saved the thing. So it's possible. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's possible, but it is certainly upsetting to potentially upsetting. I mean, I guess it could be.
Honestly, I don't know how I'd feel. If I'd be upset or respectful or... I don't know.
I don't think any time...
I mean, I want a job on Monday, but...
Any time you're laid off and it's sudden...
Good.
I don't think it's one of these things where, all right, guys, you know, Tuesday we laid off everybody, so you can keep coming in, but make sure you clean out your desks and where you're going to surplus your computers and, you know, by Thursday. I don't think it's like that. I think it's... they're keeping the studio open. Everyone's going to have access to everything. They still have a job, but... they will be laid off eventually. Like, you know, that's what my understanding is. But anyway, that is the big news for that's recently happened. We're going to cut to Airbrushed by Anamanaguchi. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on 90.9 FM KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was airbrushed by Anna Monoguchi. We're going to talk about Titanfall and how it's pretty awesome. Before we do that, Titanfall is actually made by Respawn Studios, or I guess it's just Respawn. They're a team. We were talking about small studios. They have sub 100 people. They have less than 75 people on staff. They're headed up by Jason West and Vince Zampella, who, if those names sound familiar... There was some controversy a while back in 2010. They were formerly of Infinity Ward, which is kind of in charge of doing like Call of Duty, which is sort of a big thing, you know.
Oh, there's a lot of Call of Duty players.
So in 2010, after one of the Call of Duties was released, they were fired. Both of those guys were fired.
Viciously fired.
Yeah, there was like
don't ever come back fired.
There were security guards, and Activision said breaches of contract and insubordination was the reason. Anyway, after they were fired, 46 people from Infinity Ward just left. They just quit. And of those 46 people, 38 of them have now been hired and are now working at Respawn. So that's pretty cool that there is life after death.
That's the thing.
And they're working with people that they know. Let's talk a little bit about Titanfall. Let's set it up. Titanfall beta opened over last weekend, or almost a week ago, I guess, maybe. Fantastic game. This is the next-gen game everyone's been touting. Won over 60 awards at E3.
Yeah, it was the reason I was going to... Well, one of the reasons I was going to get an Xbox. Keep it on PC!
You don't have to get an Xbox One unless you don't have a PC.
I just have to download Origin.
Yeah, it is through Origin, and they...
hurts my soul.
If you signed up for the beta and you were lucky enough, you got PC or Xbox One keys. Maybe you got both, because... I know there was a problem where PC users got Xbox One keys, and Xbox One users got PC keys, and then they, like, 2 hours later...
It also
later,
says Microsoft!
Yeah. 2 hours later, they flipped it, and they gave, like, I got an Xbox One and then a PC key. So I actually gave the Xbox One key to a friend of mine. Hopefully he, you know, was able to get in. But I was able to install it. It took, like, a day. I installed the game.
It's because of your internet connection, man.
This game is pretty fun to play.
It looks amazing. I'm going to sign up for Origin
get into this. It has a pretty awesome tutorial, and then everything past that is all multiplayer. We have posted 2 videos online. Go ahead and check the website, exppoints.com, for those videos, or facebook.com/experiencepoints to see the it's like a 20-minute video on the training, pilot training, and then I think I have like a 6 or 7 minute video of like the first ever multiplayer match. You can see how bad I am at this game, but
I'm sure you're great.
Even though we won, it is a pretty game, a pretty good match. So let's talk about Titanfall. Let's kind of break it down.
Let's break it down.
It is a first person shooter with a few differences. You can run on walls,
parkour.
You can essentially, it's like Mirror's Edge, Prince of Persia, Mech Warrior, all rolled into one.
That just sounds like an awesome game.
It is. Effectively, this is a very awesome game. You have double jumps.
If I could parkour with robots, I'd be so happy.
Okay, so you can't parkour with robots.
That'd be amazing. Like, just buildings falling as you run on them.
I feel we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's break it down real easy.
Real easy.
You're a pilot. You're a pilot. You can be one of several different classes of pilot. You can customize your pilot. You can give it different guns and different tier kits and things like that. The big thing about this game is that you have a lot of vertical space to go into. You can do double jumps. You can catch the ledges of buildings and climb up. You can run off of walls, jump onto other walls, and continue to run and kind of just do this awesome scaling thing. There's a lot of vertical movement. It's really awesome. Likewise, you can cloak, you can go faster. There are certain upgrades and cards you can burn. There are very, very cool mechanics to this game, but I'm not going to spend too much time on that.
All right.
Because, like the name suggests, Titanfall. There's some Titans. I'm not talking about Roman Titans. I'm talking about big robots. If you unfortunately watch the third Matrix... saw those things at the end of the Matrix that the guys got into, or better yet, actually, if you watched Avatar and you know the big robots that the military dudes get in, sort of the same thing.
Or played Lost Planet.
Or played MechWarrior 3.
Or MechWarrior 3, even. That thing that we were just talking about. Keep up, people.
Those are really awesome things. They're called Titans. In the beta, there are 3 versions, and they all have different like attributes and characteristics, but you can customize those too. So there's like different shields you can get, or there's different you know, there's something called the Vortex Shield where you put your hand in front of you, and for a short amount of time you catch all oncoming bullets or missiles. You're pretty much Neo.
So yeah, it's the Matrix.
Yeah, you're Neo from the Matrix, and then whenever you let go of the button, you fire everything back at them. So that's pretty cool. Practically works fantastically. There's like this big, if you play, ever played Robot Alchemic Drive for the PlayStation 2, really awesome game. We're probably going to make another retro game of that. But you can shoot missiles out of your chest.
Which is always fun.
There's this thing where whenever your Titan, it's called Doomed, whenever you have essentially all your life is gone, you have a very small amount of time to get out and eject out of your Titan. When you eject,
that's a nice mechanic.
You pull this thing and you like eject straight up. There's actually some like attribute that you can put to your Titan. Whenever you pull that, your Titan goes nuclear as you explode, or as you go up, as you get out of it, eject. So you're in the air, your Titan goes nuclear and pretty much wastes anybody that was shooting you that was right underneath you. It kills and does damage to everything around you.
Nice. And so, now you have radiation poisoning.
Well, I mean, apparently in the future, nuclear isn't as nuclear as it is now.
It's green nuclear.
It's environmentally friendly nuclear
environmentally
explosions.
Environmentally friendly nuclear explosion.
So you don't spawn typically in your Titan. You can. There is a Titan only match mode, but a lot of the times when you start in a drop ship, you jump out of the drop ship, and about 2.5 minutes later, a little person says, "Hey, your Titan's ready. Just press this key, and your Titan will come down." So you do that. You can push a key, and your Titan will fall. And if it falls on somebody, it's called a Titan fall. hence the name of the game. Keep up, people. When your Titan falls on people, it kills them. As it should.
A giant piece of metal falling out of the sky. I get it.
You don't have to get into your Titan, though. You can actually set it to go on auto Titan mode, which is like turret mode. It'll find enemies, and they're the red people, and you just shoot at the red people.
Those dang reds.
You can also set it into follow mode, and it'll like clunkily follow you around and chat to you every now and then, and it'll still fire.
Oh, so it has an AI? It like talks to you?
Sort of. It's like engaging follow mode, and then it'll be like engaging guard mode. Aww. Engaging enemy Titan. It'll say things, tell you what it's doing.
Okay, I gotcha.
So it is pretty cool. The auto Titan's fantastic because you can harass other players with your auto Titan, and while your auto Titan's getting beaten up, you can fire at them with, like, a big gun, too. So, like, you can double the people on there. The really crazy thing, there are a few really, I feel, not game-breaking, revolutionary, awesome things, but cool nonetheless. The game's online only. And that's something we're going to talk about in a bit. But beyond that, the team sizes are very small. The team sizes are 6 to 8 players on each team.
I like how today that's very small.
It's very small, but the cool thing is they inject a ton of NPCs into the game environment. So you've got all of, they're called grunts or specters, and there's several different types. You know, there's different types of NPCs.
Well, not everyone can drive a giant mech.
Well, no, but they, these NPCs are running around, jumping, parkouring around too, and like you can kill them. So you still get that gratification of like, you know, firing and killing enemies. And you don't get as many points for killing the NPCs, but you still help and progress your team. It's really, really awesome that they've injected all of these NPCs. So, like, I can chain kills, and then I'll kill a pilot, and all of a sudden I get, like, as many points as I just got killing.
Well, I imagine that adds a little level of just pride in actually killing a pilot, because all the pilots are actual people, right?
The pilots are real people.
So then you know you're killing these grunts, but then you see a pilot.
It is so cool. Like, you feel so awesome whenever you take down a pilot, whenever you take down a Titan. I have a point where another mechanic is whenever you lose the match or whenever you win the match, that's not it. There's an epilogue. And the epilogue to each match kind of differs. Sometimes it's you have to kill everybody else on the team before they escape. The other team that the other team is, or you have to stop their dropship from taking off, because the dropship lands 25 or 30 seconds later. Everybody loads up on the dropship if they made it, and then the dropship warps off. You can kill everyone. You can destroy the dropship. There's an epilogue to that. If you lost, you have to get to the extraction point, hold off the enemy, then get on the ship, then defend the ship while it shoots off. So you can still get points, extraction points or whatever, epilogue points, to advance and, you know, level up. The cool thing about the NPC part is that, unlike Call of Duty, where you can spawn and instantly die, which frequently happens.
Most of the time.
In fact, that's first-person shooter. Battlefield 4, Halo, every game that I typically play that is full online.
Spawn camps.
People do that. You know, you spawn inside of a helicopter, all of a sudden you realize the helicopter's upside down, and that's not good for helicopters.
That's not how helicopters work.
And you die. So with these NPCs, you can kill these NPCs and you know, you get some points. So you will always have a way to level up, even if it's slowly. But the game is online only, so the story is delivered via multiplayer missions. In fact, the only single player portion of the game, and we've uploaded a video, is the initial pilot training that shows you how to do everything, that kind of puts you in an arena to do stuff.
And I will say, this is something that kind of, I was upset about at first, because I like stories, and I like to play by myself all the time. I don't always, I guess I'm not as competitive as some people, and I was a little upset about this, but the more I thought about it, I came to this conclusion. If you have a story to tell, make a single-player campaign. If you have a good game mechanic, make a multiplayer game.
This is actually reinforced with our examples like we conveniently have in front of us. We've, you know, Halo, for instance. Halo is a big multiplayer, competitive multiplayer game.
It actually
game.
Has a great multiplayer.
And the multiplayer is separate, I feel. Completely separate in most instances.
And also, though, every few Halo games have a really good story.
Right. Well, every few. I'm glad you put that in there. Every few Halo games have a really good story.
One, four.
I feel two is really good. The ending was so abrupt that it...
Two wasn't terrible. It wasn't good.
No.
Three was terrible.
Reach was fantastic. Reach was probably
the best
one.
No, that's what I meant, not four. I haven't played four. I'm sorry.
Reach was probably the best one.
That story.
And Halo 4 was really great, too, despite...
Yeah. I have heard good things
despite
about
the different the changes that they made. But, you know, I don't think anyone... And some people would argue, especially about Call of Duty Ghosts, but...
It has a doggy.
Past modern... And that's why everyone loves it.
It has a doggy.
You know, no one played Battlefield 3 or Battlefield 4 for the story. If you did, I'm sorry.
I played COD 4, Modern Warfare.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, the first one.
Modern Warfare 1 and 2, they were connected. They did enough to stay, you know, contiguous or whatever. But past that, Black Ops...
That one had a great story.
Black Ops 1 to Black Ops 2. And then I just feel like these games... And the people behind Respawn, they actually did have a statement, and I'm going to greatly paraphrase here, but they essentially said that, you know, 8% of people actually play a single-player campaign in things like Call of Duty, and yet 65% or more of the development team focuses on making that single-player campaign what it is.
You're saying that doesn't make any sense.
But, well, no, it doesn't. It does if you're doing Halo. Because Halo is namesake.
Halo has a big backstory and a lot of fans who play it for the story.
There are novels written about Halo.
I'm pretty sure it's more than 8% that play it for the story.
Oh, no, I imagine. In fact, a lot of the... I feel like, in some ways, it's okay to keep the multiplayer locked until you beat the single player. In some ways, because you're locking them into... One, you're forcing them, and I hate to say forcing them is a good thing, but you're forcing them to learn how to play the game. If they make it through the single-player game, and it's a good single-player game, that can act as a tutorial, and you don't get these people coming in, I don't know, a button throws grenades. I wish I really knew how to throw grenades. God, this game sucks. You know? First off...
Sounds like you have that problem a lot, Matt.
Anyway, no, I don't think people play Battlefield or Call of Duty for the single player. And you're right. If you have a story, you should tell a story.
I don't play Counter-Strike for the story.
Counter-Strike
because that's a fun game to play.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. They're terrorists.
The bad guys, you're the good guys, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the story is delivered in Titanfall's case. The story is delivered through the multiplayer missions. Though I can say from playing it, I don't really understand what's going on. I know that there are two sides, an orange and a blue side.
We hate those guys.
And if you're on one side, you aren't on the other side, which is kind of self-explanatory. And that there you're on a planet, and the planet, something happened. And it may be because it's a beta, and they haven't fully explained everything.
Are you Marines in this game?
I think...
Are you like Space Marines?
You're like Space Soldiers.
But are you part of the Marine Corps?
No, you're either part of the militia.
Like I said, that's why you know what's going on. You just take orders.
You're either part of the militia or
I'm sorry if I just offended every Marine listening to us.
The IMC.
You guys are awesome. I love you.
Or the militia. So it's like you're arbitrary parts of either a militia, which is like not military, or an IMC, which I think is military.
Okay, so it's like military versus guerrilla guys.
Right. And so it's not even... And it may be military. It may be like Killzone, you know, where it's the military versus the military. That's another example. Killzone, you know, Killzone had a fantastic story, and yet it has a multiplayer aspect to it. So, I mean...
All I'm saying is don't force a single-player campaign if you don't have one.
Right, right. And you know what? That's what and when Battlefield 4 released, EA and DICE, they did a horrible, botched job of releasing Battlefield 4 because they were trying to compete with Call of Duty Ghosts. And I bet if they didn't spend any time on single player, if they just cut that out completely, yeah. Which...
Because no one plays those games for single player.
I played the single player to learn how to do all the stuff in the game. Not that I'm new to first-person shooters. I've been playing first-person shooters forever. But I mean, or for the last 20 years, you know, they haven't changed so much from year to year. You know, over 20 years, two decades they've changed a ton, but year to year they don't change. Controls are the same.
You still want to shoot the bad guy.
Right, and you know, like, there's still, anyway, controls still crouch, space still jump, shift still runs. The problem that I had, though, was that the single player I didn't care about it. I didn't care about anyone in the story. I didn't care about their socio-political message. I didn't care about anything that they were doing.
Again, if you have a story... That's going to change everything.
That's the
problem. You don't make a game and tag a story into it. You have a story that you want to express to an audience. If games happen to be the way, an interactive game is the way you want to express a story, that's a great medium. Maybe you should write a book. Maybe you should make a movie. Maybe it should be a play, a piece of music. But you don't, I don't think, well, no, Justin Bieber exists. I was going to say, I don't think people just make music for money.
No, they make music just for money.
That was a stupid statement.
Then you look at Call of Duty 5, or sorry, Grand Theft Auto 5. Totally different game. Grand Theft Auto 5 single player was the entire game. And yet their multiplayer was fantastic too because they brought the entire single player pretty much online. They allowed people to just do it with other people. But I can't say that if they would have taken the single player away that I would have still played Grand Theft Auto. I mean, maybe I would have because the engine itself, like the fact that you can just hijack and run around and do crazy stuff with other people, yeah, that's always cool. Get on jet skis and shoot up a dock. Sure, cool.
Yeah.
But
it's a normal weekend for me.
I feel like first-person shooters specifically, because I don't know, I look at Diablo. Like, Diablo 3 without other people, it's still Diablo 3 to me.
Well,
like,
yeah, no, that's one thing I don't... Like, it doesn't... Diablo 3 with other people, it's cool if, like, someone else is hanging out with you.
Right.
You know, you want to, like, load it up on your PlayStation or whatever.
Right. I don't think it'd be... It doesn't really change the game when people that are not in front of me, not around me, aren't playing with me.
Yeah.
But, like,
like I said, it's nice because, like, if someone else is hanging out, they don't just have to sit there and watch you. They can play. But it doesn't really help you any.
Right. I feel like first-person shooter games that are meant to be played, you know, full screen with, you know, other people, if the story is crap, don't make the story. I hope Titanfall is able to deliver a good enough story via these multiplayer missions because the game, frankly, is fantastic. I really feel like this is a next-gen game.
That makes me happy to hear.
I feel like it's a next-gen game. I feel like the combat is quick. I feel like when I die, I don't rage quit. I don't feel the need to rage quit. And it's not like I get mad at the game, like the game's cheating or he's wall hacking or anything like that. It's the ability to stay alive and you realize that through your skill at the game, it doesn't require you to level up from the start of the game, unlock everything.
I've never been a fan of, and a lot of new multiplayer games doing that, this like leveling system.
Right. Now, you do have a level system in Titanfall, unlock certain things, but it's like the gun that I started with, I was killing level 20-something people. It's okay. Like, you know, even if you're not killing the other pilots, even if the other pilots are really, really good and they're getting in their Titans way quicker and they're burning cards because they got cards to burn, even if they're doing all that, you can still kill the grunts and you can still have some satisfaction of thinning out their ranks. It's the same thing with like League of Legends. League of Legends effectively has hundreds of players in the same match. You may only have, say, was it 3-on-3, I think, or 5-on-5?
Yeah, there's different modes.
If you only have, say, 3-on-3 or 5-on-5, you still have all the minions. The minions in that game are like the grunts in Titanfall. They go out, and sure, they'll be slaughtered by your towers or by your auto-titans or by your other grunts. They'll be killed, but they are contributing to the game, so that's pretty awesome. Titanfall, fantastic. Check it out online. We're going to cut to a song real quick, and then we're going to end the show out.
Yeah, we are.
This is Welcome to the Breakdown by iFightDragons. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Breakdown. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was Welcome to the Breakdown by iFightDragons. We are out of time.
Aww.
But before we go, we got a little bit more time, I guess. You know, we got like a couple minutes, 5 minutes. You know what? We want to pitch the website one more time. What's that website, Bear?
ExpPoints.com. Double tap the P.
You can go ahead and check us out on Facebook as well at Facebook.com/ExperiencePoints. And we're working on getting Twitter and all the other social media up. But check us out.
Sociable.
Check us out online because we've got all our reviews, all of our actual, you know, any of the radio work that we do. The radio show is up on iTunes and up on the website. So whether you download the MP3 or you sync it to your podcast.
See, there's no excuse not to listen. No.
You can listen to us anywhere, anytime. We have to cut the music out, but that's okay. Any place, well... Don't like blare us in the library. The library is a sacred, silent place. But if you must,
that it is.
You know what? If you
but if you have to blare something in the library,
blare us.
Blare us. Blare on.
Blare.
Drop the wubs.
Experience points. No. So we're doing a lot of really cool stuff. We are going to be doing more cool stuff as time goes on. We've got more people contributing content, or will be contributing content to Experience Points. We are going to be running several, as a platform, we're going to be running several extra podcasts. It's going to be the radio show, and that'll stay on Wednesdays. We may even get more time to do it later on. There may be some extra things online for you to do. The most prevalent of which is the game giveaway for this game, Tomb Raider. The 2013 release of Tomb Raider, not the definitive edition. It hasn't come out for PC or Mac yet, but this is the 2013 regular, I guess, non-definitive.
You still have to have the cool hair. That's all that matters.
Indefinitive edition of Tomb Raider. It's still like
eight. It's Tomb Raider.
It's 8 gigabytes. You want some Lara Croft? Going down
8 gigs of Lara Croft.
Go to the website. Check out the Tomb Raider game giveaway. And go ahead and tell us if you had a game to choose for a desert island. If you were on a desert island, what game would you choose? Anything goes. You can't ask to get off the island. It's the island from Lost. You don't have to punch in. You don't have to punch in the numbers.
Have to punch in the numbers every was it 20 minutes?
Something like that. That was such a bad series in the end. Yeah, so we are out of time. Go ahead and check us out online. Aww. You can hit me up at mg@exppoints.com. And Red Bear, you're at Red Bear at
exppoints.com.
Go ahead and send us emails, comments, concerns, complaints.
Send all those to MG.
Yeah, you can send all those to me. We are also very soon.
Except to here.
Very soon, we're going to be starting putting some Let's Plays. We got Titanfall. We're going to be doing a lot more of Let's Plays. I think we got Descent coming up pretty soon. Yeah. If it's not already up by the time this goes on the air, it will be up shortly thereafter.
Through the miracles of technology.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we're going to end the night with the Metal Gear Solid 2 theme by FurDK16, as well as the Madeon Mini Mix from the Andy Mac Radio Show. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points.
That's right, you have.